This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Brady back to throw. He spins it down the right side and intercepted.
I want to start there.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And that should do it.
Jim Gray here on the Rich Eisen Show. You've interviewed Brady more than anybody else. What do you think he's thinking right now, Jim?
Why did I throw those passes?
Earlier on the show, Saints head coach Sean Payton. Coming up, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus, from the new film Buddy Games, actor Josh Duhamel. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. In this hour, Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers will join us. We're also going to, just a couple minutes right now, go around the room here, just like we did for our Super Bowl prediction, preseason prediction mulligans that we just took. You guys have things that you're ready to talk about what you're thankful for in the sports world? You ready
for all that? Absolutely.
Mike Del Tufo?
I got something funny, but okay. I'm thinking.
Well, it's all good.
Cultivating
whatever it is. You got what you got over there? TJ Jefferson, as you settled into your chair? I don't know
if you've been paying attention, but sports hasn't been very kind to me the last few months. So I don't know what to be thankful for.
I will tell you this. As I mentioned here earlier this week, did I? That my professional football team is 0-10. I try not to bite my nails ever, certainly in the era of COVID. I had a figurative triple overtime nail biter against Rutgers, which is a new sensation for me. I've sworn off my favorite basketball team of all time. What else do you need?
We're in the same boat then.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even now, even I have come up with something positive that I'm thankful for in the sports world.
For sure.
Certainly, again, that, you know, we have to all take stock in all seriousness in this day and age. And I know times are tough for so many people. We hear from so many fans of our show, and we knock on wood that you are with us every single day here on our Peacock stream, or if you listen to us on our radio feeds on terrestrial and also satellite radio. We know that a lot of you tell us, hey, thank you for, whatever you do to help take our minds off of things. And it means a lot to hear that. I do not take any of that for granted. I really don't. And I don't take for granted that we all here at this show have decided to live our lives in a certain way because we know in order to do this show, we got to be careful. We got to be careful out there, to use the old Hill Street Blues phrase, you know. We got to be careful out there with what's going on in COVID. We don't want to get each other sick. We want to keep doing this. So we got to take stock in what we're to be thankful. And unfortunately, you know, the virus has its own two cents. You know, you see in this crazy mixed up world, people think that there's a political aspect to COVID-19. It's insane. It really is insane. I see just like, hey, do you notice that certain members of a certain political party don't get it and certain members of a political party do get it? And is there some sort of conspiracy about that, as if this isn't a worldwide disease that doesn't care what side of the aisle you vote on in America? I mean, it's just nuts that it has its own sense of things, and we can hopefully control it with a vaccine in 2021. The reason why I bring all that up is that Nick Saban has COVID-19. You could sit here and say, well, didn't he have it before? Well, apparently that was a false positive earlier this season. He is now experiencing symptoms. He will not be coaching the Iron Bowl this weekend against Auburn. And then there's the news that broke literally 5 minutes ago, or at the top of hour two here on this program, is the Thursday night Thanksgiving triple header is off. It has been postponed to Sunday. The Ravens have a significant COVID-19 issue. For the NFL, which, you know, as taking player safety and COVID-19 as seriously as you possibly can. I mean, they have hit teams financially, and in the Raiders with a draft choice that they will have to forfeit. You know, I use this, Chris, because I'm thankful for you, and I know I have to use that verbiage as forfeiting a draft choice, you understand. So They take it as seriously as they possibly can, right? And for them to say Thanksgiving night, partners at NBC, for them to say Thanksgiving night is off, there has to be a significant issue that they cannot just quarantine certain members of the Ravens and say you are over there and you are safely quarantined without any close contacts that aren't potentially at risk. And they're not going to, on a short week, go ahead and throw them on a field on a Thanksgiving night when the whole country will be watching. And this is, you know, Steve Bornstein, who is the old president of NFL Network, who is at ESPN, who I always say is so smart enough that he hired me twice. He always called Thanksgiving Day games beachfront property. He even once told me that he would love to see, although I don't think he was able to, as you could see, clearly sell it to ownership in the NFL. He once wanted to relegate teams that did not perform well year in, year out of hosting Thanksgiving games. He wanted to basically say, if you don't finish in a certain status, winning status, year in and year out, you can't host Thanksgiving Day games. And I'm sure somebody took that to mean, well, are you saying the Lions can't host a Thanksgiving Day game, even though it's in 1920? And I, you know, I don't want to throw too much out there, but I think the answer would have been yes. Because it's beachfront property. The, you know, aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins watching football, maybe for the first time all year.
Yeah, first game that right. People watch.
It's on. Who is this Stafford person, you know? Who is this Dak?
No one asks that. They know.
Well, no. You know, that's right. Okay. But at any rate, for them to cancel Thanksgiving night game or push it to Sunday, as they have, it's got to be significant. Now, you're saying, Chris, that Pittsburgh Steelers players are not happy with this, correct?
Yeah, several already. Chase Claypool, Eric Ebron, Juju Smith-Schuster, well, just three who have voiced
well,
their
Juju
displeasure on Twitter.
You know, and I understand he's disappointed. First, the NFL takes away our bye week because another team can't get their COVID situation together. Now they take away our Thanksgiving primetime game for the same reason, shaking my head, SMH. And Juju's a dynamic young player who's got his head screwed on totally straight and understands priorities 99% of the time. Like, look, I understand he's disappointed he can't go out there and perform on Thanksgiving night, but he doesn't want COVID, does he? I mean, the NFL is right. Doing this for a reason.
Also, it's their mini-bye as well. They didn't have a bye week, and so now the mini-bye, it's like, you know, Steelers players, understand the frustration.
No, I understand the frustration completely that they have not had a bye since their bye was supposed to be week 7.
And it was week 3.
And it wound,
four,
up,
right?
It wound up being, let me get this right, because I have it in front of me. Gosh, I just can't see anymore. It wound up being week 4.
Yeah.
It wound up, instead of week 8, it wound up being week 4. Yeah.
So they had the perfect bye situation right in the middle of the season.
I know, and it stinks. But yeah. I don't think the Ravens stood in front of a COVID fan. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how people get this. Nobody does. You just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, Ian's saying they've now had 7 players in the last 3 days. Matt Skura, Pat McCary, and Calais Campbell, plus several coaches, and obviously their top 2.
They're going to be lucky to play the game Sunday.
Right.
This could be one of those situations where they don't play till next Tuesday. Or
it's possible.
Or they just got to tack it on in week 18 because the Ravens need to win games to make the playoffs. And the Steelers, what are you going to have a team 15-0? And if you're the Chiefs, you're like, yeah, damn straight the Ravens are going to play. The Steelers have to play the Ravens. If they lose that one and we can be the 1 seed and they're the 2 seed, this game's got to get played. This game has to get played. And again, if it's not played on Thanksgiving night, this has to be a major significance. You can't, you know, in one way say, well, the NFL is just like, this guy's got COVID positive, that guy's got COVID positive. How are they playing the game at all, on one hand? And on the other hand, say, well, how the hell are they canceling a game? I mean, they're monitoring everything best they can. I'm not mincing any words here. If this got canceled off of Thanksgiving night, this has to be significantly alarming.
But it was significant for San Francisco a few weeks ago, and the league forced them to play.
Well, again, I don't know if it was as dire as it currently appears in Baltimore right now. Trust me, again, if the NFL told a team you got to play on a Thursday night when there's a possible false positive and a bunch of guys on the COVID-19 list because there was a close contact with a guy that we don't know is positive or not, and we got to go. If they did that, then they're gonna do that on a Thanksgiving night, I'll tell you that, unless there's something considerably alarming. I hope they play it Sunday. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's get a little positive here, shall we?
Let's do it.
Because this is a example, again, the Thanksgiving night game gets canceled in 2020, that this is not a normal year. It's not usual. And we need to count our blessings. We really do. Let's talk about what we're thankful for in the sports world in 2020. You got a good one over there, Chris Brockman?
I do have one,
Rich. What are you thankful for in the sports
Thinking
world?
Thinking about what you're going through this year, watching your teams, Michigan and the Jets.
Okay.
And thinking about how I've been watching my team this year, the Pats, gosh, it really makes me stop and give utmost total thanks for the 20 previous years. And so I'm total thankful that I got to experience the full-on Brady Belichick Patriots era. You know, and everyone that came along with it, the Vinatieris and the McGinnis and the Brewskis, and even the year of Randy Moss and the Kevin Falks and all these great, great players that have gone through New England. Just watching this year, having players opt out and Julian Edelman get hurt and Cam kind of be up and down and the COVID situation and just going into Sunday hoping my team wins,
yes,
instead of knowing they're going to win. And then I'll be able to really enjoy the day, not having to worry about something crazy happening and them losing. Gosh, I'm really thankful for the previous 20 years.
The idea I had here was to leave people with a warm and fuzzy feeling, not want to claw your face off with your ode to thankfulness.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why your preamble needed to include my sports misery with my football teams, and that you use that to set up your love of the Patriots,
right?
And didn't throw in how terrible Syracuse is, which makes my team look like Alabama football.
But the difference between my Syracuse fandom and your Michigan fandom is also my placement in reality when it comes to their expectations. So I don't expect Syracuse to ever win, whereas you guys, Michigan fans, think that you're going to win a national championship.
Okay, well, I've never turned to Mike Del Tufo before as a palate cleanser, but I will have to.
Well,
because I want this to go in a more warm and fuzzy direction. At least that's the way it was planning to go.
I was being fuzzy. I'm happy.
You may be warm, but not.
You got that on your head. Right?
You may be warm.
I am nice.
I'm happy that you can actually order pizza and have it delivered from Chicago.
Gosh. Oh, gosh.
What is happening here? No,
I'm serious. I got, on a side note, that was a joke, but I'm seriously, I'm happy that we had sports like that. We, through all this insanity,
yes,
were able to play hockey, to play basketball, to play football, to play soccer, to play I don't know what I'm missing, but we were able to see sports. Like people were able to enjoy
the golf, horse racing,
horse racing. Exactly.
NASCAR completed
its whole season.
I know
I'm missing.
No, I know that.
You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
We were able to watch through all the insanity we dealt with.
Right.
And I dealt with, you know, personal insanity. And it took me away to be able to go out and do, and like, boxing and things like that. Mm-hmm. And people were able to go out and enjoy and watch sports. That's what I'm thankful for.
Is that so tough, Chris? It's not so tough.
What do you mean?
Do you have one over there, TJ?
I got like five or six, but I guess I got to.
You got to choose one.
Choose one. All right, I'm gonna go outside the box a little bit. I'm gonna talk about pro wrestling, something that I'm a big fan of.
Okay,
a lot of our people out there watching are also pro wrestling fans. I'm gonna say I'm thankful for Joe and Noi who is a former defensive captain of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. You might know him as Roman Reigns. The man battled leukemia last year, had to stop professional wrestling because leukemia that he had in his early 20s came back. He fought it last year, beat it back in remission, and came back to wrestling. And he did what all the fans wanted John Cena, who's another well-known wrestler, to do. He actually went and turned heel, which is something that the people have wanted to see forever. And now that he is a heel, and now that he has taken his place at the head of the table, and now that he is the tribal chief, he's making professional wrestling that much more fun to watch. So I'm going to say I'm thankful for that, and I'm also thankful for being able to come in here every day with you guys. Like, these last few months have been crazy on a serious note, and you know, back in March when all this happened, we didn't know what we were going to do.
Right.
I remember we took like 10 days off, and you called each of us to see what we wanted to do. And my initial reaction was like, I'm not so sure, man. I don't know. And then Brockman said something to me that kind of flipped it. He told me, I feel safer in studio with you guys than I do in, say, a grocery store. And that kind of made me go, that's right. Because, you know, we held each other accountable.
Mm-hmm.
We trusted each other not to go and do dumb stuff. And like you have said, we were able to come in here and actually work during this time, which is a blessing in itself. So more so than that, I'm grateful that we're able to be here to do this. I'm grateful that you guys took a chance on me and put me in this position. And yeah, happy for all that.
Thank you. That was great. And I appreciate you saying that. We feel the same way.
Thanks,
Steve. And I want to take a page from you, what you had to say, Mike. When you said that you're thankful that all these sports got a chance to get played. I am thankful for the athletes. I am thankful for the athletes and how they have handled all of this. How they, in the midst of a pandemic, are still doing what we love to watch them do, which is compete and love competing. And those that decided to opt out, absolutely, totally understand why they might have opted out. You know, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, as you know, Super Bowl winning offensive lineman for the Chiefs, opted out so he could work on the front lines of COVID-19. He's a doctor. He got his degree in medicine. Other players didn't want to bring the possibility of having this disease home. I totally understand. But those that played and have played with no fans in the stands, for all of us at home, to forget the fact that there's no fans in the stands. A number of times I forgot the NHL and the NBA was in a bubble. Number of times that I forgot, you know, that, oh yeah, those are cardboard cutouts in the stands in a Major League Baseball game or a professional or college football game. The amount of times that I forgot about the fact that players and athletes, men and women who play, feed off of the crowd. Whether it was when they first got started in youth sports because mom and dad or grandma or grandpa was in the stands and you fed off of the fact that they were there watching you and cheering you on to the roar of a crowd. And the fact that I got lost in the competition because they lost themselves in competing, I'm so thankful for that. And I don't want to take it for granted. And every championship that is won or every championship run that is endeavored might be the most special of these athletes' careers. It wasn't lost on me that we had Cam Jordan on after they destroyed the Bucks on Sunday Night Football. He called in the next morning. He said he'd just gotten back from the facility, just gotten his COVID test, mentioned how, you know, he sleeps in a separate room when he comes home from road games. Because his kids and his wife, he doesn't want them to maybe get it. If he has it, he wants to be cleared through the test. And we all know that sometimes the test is just a snapshot in time. He might have it from a few days before. And it's just crazy. It's crazy what's going on in this world and how we forget about it when we turn on the television sets and watch. And I'm thankful for the athletes who do it. And then I'm also thankful for, you know, the people I work with, you know. Especially since, Don, if you want to put up the Instagram photo, especially the crew at NFL The Grind who brought me bagels after yesterday, surprised me with bagels yesterday, after yesterday's shoot, because they felt bad about my guys putting me on the Pay No Mind Lou Malnati's pizza list and brought me bagels. And everyone on that screen, I love them. I love working with them, and I love having their I love that they have my back, and that I came in today, and I offered all you guys bagels here. Like, do you want a bagel? Would you like some? Because I share. I think of you guys, and I love you, and I love you. That's what I'm also thankful for.
Pizza's on the way, Rich.
That's great. I look forward to it because I love getting stuff from you guys, and I love showing you how much I appreciate you.
I had a dream. We all had a pizza party.
That's great. Night. That's great. These are all great stories, Mike, that warm the heart.
I know. I know. Rich couldn't keep his favorite.
Like, wow. Wow. Wow.
Great segment.
Great segment, guys.
Good idea. Hey, you're the one who started it.
Well, I mean, I thought we were doing like fun, kind of like tongue in cheek. Like,
I don't know. I told you beforehand where I was going with it. It's okay.
I think I hit both of those.
It's all good. No, that's what you're thankful for. You're thankful for all those 20 years of championship run that you took for granted, right?
We also told him it was going to be like this when it ended, and now he's seeing.
Yeah, he didn't know.
It's going to be like that.
Rich, Matt Ryan has a comment on.
Rich, you got to move on. You got to move on.
He just called in.
You got to play the drop where he says, I love you, but you've got to move on.
I don't remember
you
that.
You have excised really... with your editing equipment him saying, Rich,
I can't edit.
I love you, but you've got to move on. He said, I love you, but you've got to move on. You have conveniently sliced out the part where he says he loves me.
Are we sure that happened, though?
It did happen.
I don't.
That's a million weird. Percent happened.
That's really strange.
And Dr. Mike, with his rubber glove over there, cut it out with his editing.
Here it is.
Just tell me to move on, Matt, and I'll move on. Just tell me to move on.
Rich, you got to move on. You got to move on.
I don't see any I love you,
but you got to move on.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Third time's a charm.
Oh, he did?
Okay. He did say that.
After the fact.
That sounded edited to me.
I guess to put a button on it, bring it all full circle, I just want to be loved by the people that I feel do love me.
Well, we can't that's come hug it. You, bro. You know?
Yeah, that's no. what I mean. Like, I mean, I would give you a
virtual long distance.
And I will say this, that a guest who's on next week, there's a lot that you can look at our next week guest, sent me Lou Malnati's pizza because this person saw your jackal-like behavior
jackal.
And wanted to make sure I knew I was loved. And that person shall remain nameless.
Wow. Hold on.
Is it Lou?
And just know that this person is coming on next week. And there are many people who are on next week's guest list who have been on before and would absolutely be one of those people. You cannot identify them just yet. Okay? You can take a guess. Let's take a break.
Wow.
Your phone calls. You can tell us what you're thankful for in sports. I'm thankful for Justin Herbert calling in at the end of this hour as well. Kyle Brandt and Josh Duhamel as well, still to come here on this Wednesday. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Get excited, folks, because starting today, the original series New, coming to Peacock, Saved by the Bell. You can start streaming it right now. Bayside's back. New students, new stories, some very familiar faces like Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Burke at Berkeley. Start streaming today, Saved by the Bell. Show it to your kids and say, oh, there was another version of this when I was younger. With Mr. Belding.
Can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Haskins.
What's their names, he says to me. Like, I go in and don't even know their names.
What's their name?
No, I was asking.
Elijah was the one who got the bagels.
Hey!
Eli, for those who are friends with him.
I was asking because I wanted to know.
Look at them. They're great. They're an outstanding professional crew. That it was funny. I was on the set last Tuesday, fresh off from learning at the end of the show. You know, I go right from here to there on Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
It was that last Tuesday. And I just, like, shook my head. And they're like, what's going on? I'm like, well, I just got off the phone trying to get Kevin O'Leary to join the show because of X, Y, and Z.
If Chuck E. Cheese's and was open, you guys could have gotten out of pizza
party. I told
them
X, Y, and Z. And you know what they all said? What the hell's the matter with the people you work with down there?
Oh, I've been getting ripped, Rich.
As you know, NFL Films is easily, in any endeavor, one of the most professional, buttoned-up outfits. They are all pros. They're not screwing around, not messing around, but they will have fun because it's all about, you know, fun. Right back here on our radio show, the Sable's all about fun in NFL Films. They're buttoned up and they're pros. I told him, you tell me if I'm being oversensitive about it.
I think you're being oversensitive.
No, no, no. They all agreed. And they said, don't let that masshole get you all upset.
I was the one not mentioned.
Don't let him get so upset because you keep bringing it up, get thrown off the scent of the original crime.
I forget. What was the original crime?
I have no idea what happened.
You guys having a conversation when the show's over and I'm not here. And you accuse me of being last one in, first one out, and you're like, you know, and you're
and
you
never
like
came
ordering
out of
pizzas
mouth.
From Lou Malnati's, and you don't even think, let's get one for Rich, and you're ordering three for yourselves.
My
each.
Brother went nuts. He's
he,
like,
he
how
called
could you
into
do
the
that?
Show last
I know
week when
I
you
was
weren't
gone.
Here.
He goes, how could you do that to
exactly.
Rich? I had to explain. I'm like, Rich,
it was an oversight.
It was an oversight.
We didn't mean it.
There was no vindictiveness.
I'm very, very.
What's amazing is that we were going to get two each, and then. We saw the deal for the shipping, and we're like, let's just get three.
Let's get more. Not out of a spirit of camaraderie, but out of a spirit of cheapness. I won't even say economical sensibility. I'll say cheapness.
I am frugal. I'll admit that.
DJ didn't want to get all three at once.
Well, as I mentioned, this gambit or bit we'll have even more legs next week when somebody joins us.
Hey, thanks for the bagels.
Is it Chef Boyardee? Thank
you. It is not Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee.
I lived up Chef
Famous
Boyardee.
Ray from New York.
Really long time.
Is Famous Ray sending a pie?
Justin Herbert's going to join us in about 10 minutes' time. I know this is an inartful analogy. I say that right off the bat. I will say that right off the bat, and I apologize in advance, but is it possible the pregame needle in week two is the Mo Lewis of this situation?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
I know it's inartful and it's unfortunate,
right.
But I'm just pointing out again that the Patriots were not going to Tom Brady. They were not sitting there saying, we've got to go to Tom. Now, when you're the 199th overall pick in the draft, you are definitely on the pay no mind list in terms of starting when you've got the guy who's got a $100 million contract, first in NFL history, compared to somebody who drafts sixth overall.
Yeah,
so I know the analogy is not perfect. My analogy, though, is that there's a starting quarterback that the Patriots discovered as their franchise face because of an unforeseen circumstance like Mo Lewis blowing up the innards of Drew Bledsoe. And nobody was thinking, you know, that Herbert was going to get the week two start against Kansas City. That's for sure. And, you know, Anthony Lynn wanted to try Tyrod Taylor for many reasons. But this kid's been nothing short of phenomenal. Nothing short of phenomenal.
He's a real deal.
Can you put up his statistics before just setting up the stage here? Before Justin Herbert joins us, his numbers are now. You're saying yards per game we have up here is what his statistics are through nine games. Yards per game 300. It's not exactly on the head. It's 299.9 yards per game. We're going to do him a favor and round it up. He's literally averaging a 300 yard game in his first 9 games as a rookie. 22 touchdowns, which is already 5 shy of tying Baker Mayfield's rookie record he set in 2018. He's got a quarterback rating, which resembles one of those hot FM stations. Yeah. 104.7, everybody.
The Bone.
The Bone, yeah.
The Bone.
Okay. The Bone. And he has 2,699 yards passing, which is, I don't want to do the math. The record is Andrew Luck's rookie record, 4,374 passing yards. He needs to average just less than 280 a game to break that, which is, as you could see, less than the average he's had through the first 9 games. So he's amazing.
Yeah. Dude can ball.
And the most amazing thing could be that he threw for 366 passing yards and 3 touchdowns against the Jets after cutting his hair, which I wouldn't have touched. Maybe I'm just more superstitious than anybody. And he's joining us right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers. How are you, Justin?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in. Greatly appreciate it. Let's get to that. I'll start right off the bat because, again, I'm a man who's follically challenged, obsessed with hair. Why'd you cut your hair, Justin? The whole country's talking about it. What happened there?
It was time to switch it up, you know, after going through a couple losses and things like that, you know, maybe we had to switch it up. And
okay.
It was just getting a little too long.
So it was a team thing, because statistically you're lighting it up. You cut your hair for the team. It was a team thing. What
yeah, when you say it like that, I like it better that
okay,
way.
Okay, even though there is an I in Justin, but not one in Herbert, it was a team thing. Now, I know John Lott. I know him, your strength and conditioning coach, because he was one of the first coach stars of NFL Network. We discovered his his energy in the weight and reps room at the combine. He was the one who cut your hair?
Correct.
Simple question, why? Why would you let John Lott cut your hair?
That is a great question. He said he could do it. He said he's had experience. So I trust the guy, and I wasn't looking for anything pretty. So it did the job. And going forward, I might look a little harder to find someone cutting hair, but it was good enough for me.
Okay, you're in Southern California now, Justin. There are many, many people that would do this job, I think, a little bit stylish than what John Lott did. So do we call this the lot? Like, sit down in the chair and say, give me the lot? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it was actually in the weight room. So it was pretty fitting.
Come on now. In the weight room? I imagine there are some mirrors, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's why we kind of did it there. There were enough mirrors, so it gave us a good look. And
okay. All right. Last one for you on this, Justin. What did your loved ones in your life think of this?
They supported it. My hair is normally pretty short. It's only been the past couple of years where it's kind of grown out. So I think people were kind of used to that.
Okay.
The people I knew, but I just thought it was time, you know?
Okay. All right. And so your mom gave it the thumbs up. She likes it.
Yeah. She approved.
Okay. God bless. Good for you, man. I only know one speed when it comes to that. So I guess I just wanted to hit on that. What do you attribute your success so far, Justin, in this league?
I think a great team, and I think a great coaching staff that has helped me tremendously over the past couple of weeks. And from the offseason until now, I think we've done a great job of working footwork and timing and just timing with the receivers and all these reps that we've been able to get. I think we've improved quite a bit over the time.
Okay, and throw some coaches' names out there. I would imagine Coach Hamilton would be the first one you'd throw out here?
Yep, Coach Hamilton and Coach Steichen as well. Those two have been huge in our development. We've spent so much time, whether it's been on Zoom or in person, just getting better and talking about film. And even in this offseason, spent some time with Coach Hamilton watching film. When he wasn't in the building, we weren't allowed to be together. Just watch some film, so got some time together that way.
Watch some film of what?
Game film. So whether it was the Bengals when we opened up with them, or the Chiefs, or kind of going through our game opponents like that.
So Justin Herbert here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go back to that Chiefs game. I know you've talked about it in other shows, but this is the first time that we've spoken since then. Week 2. Walk me through when you learned you were starting against the the Chiefs, Justin?
It was right before the kickoff. Well, I think actually it might have been right before we went out and huddled. So we get the kickoff, and I'm yelling, "Let's go offense! Let's go offense!" Like, I'm ready to cheer on the team, and Coach Lynn comes up to me and says, "Justin, you're in." And I kind of looked around, kind of surprised, because I really wasn't expecting that. And then Coach Hamilton and Coach Steichen come right up to me, and they're saying, "Like, it's time to go. Like, you're going in." And like, wow, this is really real. And I went out there, and I think everyone in the huddle was kind of surprised because they weren't really expecting me to be out there.
So you get out there in the huddle, and then the rest of the team is kind of like, did anybody literally say, "What are you doing here?"
No one said that. That probably would have been a little funny at the time. But they kind of just said, all right, like, let's go. And we went out there and had a good drive.
No, because honestly, I'm thinking about things about my own career. Literally, John McEnroe once said that to me in a tennis booth when I called a tennis match. He looked at me and said, "What are you doing here?" when I got to the booth. And I know he was kind of like busting my stones. So I was wondering if maybe something like that happened with you too. But I'm also remembering the first Sports Center I ever did, Justin, when I was 26, just on ESPN out of literally a small market in North Redding, California. The reason why I bring this up is it was March Madness, and I had 13 highlights to do, and I'd only seen one of them before going down to the stage. And I thought to myself, I have two choices. I can literally either pee down my leg, I literally thought that, or just live for the moment that I've been dreaming of my entire life. And I chose the latter, because what else are you going to do?
Wow.
I'm wondering if that was a similar mindset you might have had going out in that huddle.
I think that's a great way of looking at it. And, you know, I've dreamed about this day and just being out there and playing football in the NFL. And when they told me that, I had to wipe a smile off my face, and they're like, "All right, time to focus up, Justin." And I just went out there and, you know, had fun, and it was the best couple of minutes of my life being told that. And yeah, it's obviously a very tough situation. And Tyrod has been so supportive over the past couple of weeks. And he's a great guy to have in the team.
I was going to ask you about that, Justin, about your relationship with him and how he has helped. You know, I know you mentioned your coaches, how he has facilitated your ascension here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's a captain. He's a leader of this team and a great guy to have in the locker room, and has been so supportive. And when I come off to the sideline, he's always there saying, you know, they're doing this and doing that, and just kind of talking about what we're doing offensively. And whether it's in the film room or it's out on the field, he's been great to have.
And in retrospect, getting your start like that, obviously I'm sure you dreamt your start would be, well, coach names me starter, I get full week of practice, or maybe a bye week or something like that. The fact that you were, in fact, born into this league as a starting quarterback that way means what, do you think, to you?
I think it's a great opportunity. Yeah, it would have been great to have a week of practice and things like that. But that's just kind of how things have gone, and it's always kind of been like that, where you don't really expect it to happen, and you have to be ready immediately. And so you kind of have to learn through it and live through it and go through all these experiences to become the quarterback that you want to be.
What has been the hardest part? Because to be honest with you, I'm sitting there on my couch watching your games. You make it look simple. You really do.
Oh, I appreciate that. I think it's really tough when me being used to a college offense where we didn't really go above a three and a hitch drop. Sometimes I get too deep, and the pass rushers are a little different at this level of the game. And sometimes I sit back too much, and you know, the edge rushers just come flying around, and I get in some trouble like that. And so just being able to step up in the pocket, feel the pocket, and hang in there and make a throw is something that I'm always going to be learning.
Which edge rusher is giving you the most crap? Put you down, and you got an exchange from a veteran so far in your first nine starts?
No mean words, but I think Brian Burns from when we played Carolina, he made some tough plays, and I think I actually ended up fumbling one that he hit me on, and that was probably one of the learning moments that I had to go through the most.
And in terms of just a few minutes left here with Justin Herbert, Los Angeles Chargers quarterback here, I mean, the guys that you have had to face off with, again, I know you're not on the same field at the same time with these guys, but, you know, you've got Mahomes in that first game for you. Then you've got Brady. Then you've got Breeze. I mean, at any point in time, did you sit there and go, "Oh my God!" Like, you know, like, I know that you're competing and you got to win here, and you balled out in Tampa. But at any point in time, did you stop and tell the 10-year-old and yourself what was going on? At any point in time?
Yeah, That's a great question. All the time. Before the game, when I'm out on the field, you get to see those guys throw and warm up. And so I kind of watch them for a little bit. And then even after the game, you know, when you shake hands and just say, you know, good luck going forward, and just being able to talk to those guys and watch them during the game, you get to pick up so much.
And Keenan Allen, does he ask for the football? Or does he demand it at any point in time? He's definitely a guy that needs to be fed. And boy, did you feed him last week? About that?
Yeah, he's a special player, and I think it's well known to get him the ball, and him and Mike and Hunter, especially. Anytime you can get them the ball, something special is going to happen. So I know that it's my job to get those guys the ball, and so I'm going to do my best to get my job done.
And how has your life changed in any way, shape, or form over the last 3 months?
I think the biggest thing is no school. I don't have to study and prepare for exams, so it's all football, and I think that's the best part.
Hmm. What was the toughest class that you took at Oregon then?
Took organic chemistry, and that one took a lot of my time and was definitely tough, but learned a lot from it.
Okay. How does organic chemistry help you in the National Football League, Justin?
I've yet to find how that the two correlate. But I know one day going forward it might pop up, so I'll be better equipped.
You know, I'm just wondering, like, you know, at some point does the periodic table or just knowing that in any way, shape, or form help you decipher a defense, maybe? I'm just trying to get the beautiful mind aspect of this.
I hope one day it does, because I know that I'll be better equipped to it, but I get to see it, though.
You what a certain number on the periodic element was right now, would you be able to regurgitate it? Would you be able to throw that back at me? Right.
Probably now? Not.
Hmm. Okay.
Unfortunately.
What was your favorite element then? You got a favorite element?
Just carbon.
You know what? It's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Number six. That's six.
That's number six.
Table, yeah.
Well, he was the sixth overall pick.
Hey, now.
He was the carbon pick.
Hey, now.
In the 2020 draft. Very good. All right, before I let you go, this is a question for me. I'm not going to lie here. How's Austin Eckler doing?
He's doing well. I've been able to watch him kind of rehab, and he's always in the training room getting better. So I know as soon as he's able to go, he's going to be out there, because he's a fighter. And, you know, I think he's posted a bunch of videos of him squatting and running.
Yeah.
And he looks pretty good.
He's posting videos of him running saying, you know, thanks for people not dropping me. And was that 400 pounds he was squatting? Was that literally 400?
I think that's probably his warm-up set.
Come on. Really?
He's incredible in the weight room.
Okay. So some people squat 400 in the weight room and others get their hair cut in the weight room, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's the way of looking at it.
Oh, my gosh. Justin, I don't know. Again, you're not on you're not on Twitter, right? You're not out there on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
Are you aware that your haircut sparked a whole thing on social media of people posting their haircuts that are shocking to others on Twitter? Have you seen that? Did you know that?
No, I think I've done a great job of kind of staying away from that, because I think it gets to be a pretty negative place. So, you know, I've stayed focused on football.
Well, I think it's not negative to say you look younger. You look younger with that haircut. I would love to look younger with a haircut. See, these things are good. That's a compliment. I'm serious.
Okay.
You know? You there?
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Justin. I really greatly appreciate it. Let's do this again more often. I'm very happy for your success. And tell John Lott that he should be one and done as a barber. Okay?
Would you tell him? Know.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for having me.
I'm sorry. Stylist. Use the word stylist with him, will you please?
Gotcha.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Justin. You take care.
Thank you.
You got it. That's Justin Herbert, everybody. Usually I don't like to end interviews with a joke that doesn't land and say to the guest, you there? You still there?
He's locked in on football.
I did text John Lott to say to him, like, remind me to never ask you for a haircut. He responded. Let me get this out here right now. John Lott responded to that saying, come on, Rich, I thought you were boys. I thought we were boys. I'll tell you what, personally, I think it looks good. Justin's a great kid, Rich. He's a throwback. That's what he said.
John Lott on the weight bench.
Yeah.
There's a throwback.
Hey, okay. Michigan. Hey, Wolverine. Hey, Island, Staten Island.
There you go. There you have it. That's the difference.
I mean,
that'd be if I got the haircut. I don't know. One haircut makes him look younger.
Yeah, right, yours. Right.
Add hair to you. It doesn't. I don't know if it's working out. Do you want the turkey hat?
Yeah, Rich, the turkey hat's available.
I don't want the turkey hat, right, Chris. Just, it looks good. You get a free bowl of soup with that hat?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
I think I look good in both photographs, okay? We're back in a second. Your phone calls. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. All right, we're back here on our Peacock stream. Our radio audience will rejoin us in just a matter of seconds. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We truly are having our best week ever on our YouTube stream. It is just en fuego, to use the phrase of our friend who precedes us every day, who we follow every day on NBC Sports on Peacock right here. We greatly appreciate everybody checking us out, YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Of course, when we're done right here on Peacock, you can watch the show back. You can watch the show back by going right up here to the sports tile on the menu at the top of your screen. Find our show. You can watch us on demand. And also, we re-air on this channel, NBC Sports on Peacock. We will re-air as well. And you can catch all of our show every single day live at noon Eastern time. We'll hand it off to Brother from Another later on today. We're going to be off tomorrow and Friday, but we'll be back on Monday. And we are back here on our Rich Eisen Show radio network. Here we are back on Mightier 1090 and more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Justin Herbert said it wasn't going well. It wasn't going well. For him, it was.
Had to change it up.
For him, it was. But as we all know, the Los Angeles Chargers lost at Denver. They lost to the Raiders when they thought they won at the buzzer. Right? Needed some help to get Jacksonville. So, said, you know what? I'm going to cut it. And then he throws for 366 and three touchdowns. And I, you know, I don't want to put the kid in a bad spot, but, you know, thank you. Thank you for keeping the Jets winless. Seriously, can you imagine the Jets win one of these games the last couple? Like, for what? Like, I know for what. Like, this is a prideful bunch. Like,
they don't want that zero.
Frank Gore's like, I don't want to go out like this. I totally understand it. Let's go to the phone lines. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kevin in Virginia has been waiting forever and a day. What's up, Kevin?
Thank you for taking my call, Rich.
Thanks for hanging in for as long as you did. What's going on?
I'm thankful we can watch your show here on Peacock
every day. Me too. Thank you.
I called in before the start of the Big Ten season. I was on a big preseason high.
Mm-hmm.
I still have my Steelers and Clemson Tigers to root for, okay, but I think I need a Big Ten football mulligan.
For which team?
I called in talking smack, saying Wolverines are going to finish in third place behind Ohio State and Penn State. And after five winless weeks of humbleness, third place sounds pretty good right about
there
now.
There we go. Yay. Very good higher register right there. Look, man, I don't know what to tell you other than the fact that 0-5 for the first time ever. They've been playing football since when, Christopher, you mentioned?
1887.
Yeah, at least you got Clemson and you got your Steelers, right? So hang your hat on that, man.
All right,
thanks for the
much.
Call. Thanks for hanging in there.
Thanksgiving, bro.
Has Dabo spent any part of today slagging on a Florida State? Because that's been 2 days running before yesterday, before today.
Not that I've seen so far.
All righty. Let's go to Dusty in Wyoming. What a name. Great name for somebody living in Wyoming, right? Dusty,
all right.
How are you, Dusty?
Good. How you doing, Rich?
I'm fine. What's going on in your mind?
Hey, speaking of hair, I was just noticing I've watched you for a long time, and it might be a blessing or a curse. My hair is following your hairline exactly.
Okay. So,
which
So you're aging like a fine wine, is what you're saying? Because I assume
that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
boy, Dusty.
Be a blessing or a curse, or maybe both. I don't know.
No, I think it's a blessing. We've just met. I can't see you, but I'll just say, since it's mimicking mine, we're just going to be lockstep that way.
Right.
How does that sound?
Well, I just wanted to call in and thank you guys for being on the show. My brother and I watch you guys every day.
Excellent.
Also, we want to thank the refs for doing a bang-up job this year. It seems like we're not having to watch the refs near as much as we're watching football, and that's amazing.
Appreciate that, Dustin. Dusty, appreciate it. You're right. Say bye to your brother. Happy Thanksgiving to you both. Have calls been down? I don't know. They certainly weren't in the fourth quarter in the Indianapolis-Green Bay game.
That's true. Not as many holdings, though. Last year, it was an offensive holding.
Well, I think Sean Hockley's crew caught up in the Indianapolis-Green Bay. I do remember last year that Tom Brady tweeted out, like, this is unwatchable, and things did change. Brother, happy Thanksgiving to you both. Have the calls been down? I don't know. They certainly weren't in the fourth quarter in the Indianapolis-Green Bay game.
That's true. Not as many holdings, though. Last year, it was an offensive holding palooza.
Well, I think Sean Hockley's crew caught up in the Indianapolis-Green Bay. I do remember last year that Tom Brady tweeted out, like, this is unwatchable, and things did change.
On a Thursday, right?
On a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And the pass interference rule is just like, as we talked about with Sean Payton, we don't miss it at all. The fact that it is not.
The current rule, though, something needs to
be
changed.
Well, Belichick said he wants it uniform with college. Or college should be uniform with us in the NFL. Remember that? He was our first guest on Peacock, NFL guest on Peacock.
He wants more uniformity throughout with the rules.
Okay.
Not just the passing.
Well, let's go to Nathan in Los Angeles. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, how are you doing again?
We're good. Good to chat with you again. What's going on in your mind?
Well, you asked what we were thankful for, and two things immediately came to mind. One is obviously everyone battling COVID for us.
Yep. Agreed. Everyone in hospitals and everybody, you know, who are working contact tracing, where a lot of people are hanging up on them, and a lot of people, you know, making sure that hospital beds are ready and doctors are protected and frontline workers are protected. And yes, I agree with you.
And secondly, is yourself, Rich, and your team. You and DP and his group have been probably the only consistent, dependable, enjoyable thing this year.
Nathan, so I appreciate that.
Going week after week, day after day, COVID or no COVID. So
I appreciate
thank you
that.
So much.
Thank you. Same to you, Nathan. Thanks, Nate. And your family. You know, obviously, we spent 5+ years going back to back with Dan on Audience, and now we're here back to back with Dan again on Peacock. It's high praise whenever we get looped in with the Dan Patrick Show crew. Even though McLovin says some really stupid things on Twitter, and Fritz texts me, you know, everything's tight in the big house when Army's trying to kick for the win against Michigan. Things tighten a big house. Remember that?
I do.
I was at Coop's soccer game.
Like 2 years ago?
Coop's soccer game trying to be best dad ever. Michigan versus Army, and I'm trying to follow that on the ESPN app with the little, you know, dot and the red arc as it's looping down the field. Army's throwing like one pass every 15 running attempts, and they're teed up to win it all. And I had like 1% of power left, and the phone buzzes, and I'm thinking maybe it's Susie, right? And no, it's a text from Fritz. Things tense in the big house. Yeah.
Is he in your phone as just Fritz or Todd Fritz?
I think Todd Fritz.
Okay. I'm just curious. Like, if you're just like, oh, why are you texting
me? He's lucky to still be in my phone. You could have blocked after that. Happy Thanksgiving to the DP crew and everybody else on NBC Sports on Peacock and everybody else from the sound of my voice. We are thankful for Kyle Brandt calling in every single Wednesday, and he'll be up next. And then the equally dreamy Josh Duhamel. That's hour three. And your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. I'd forgotten about that.
Tighten the big house.
Tighten the big house. I must still have it.
Oh, I'm sure.
You don't text it very often, so it must be like first up right here.
Well, you can just start.
Unless you were so mad you just deleted it.
No, I did not. I think I screen grabbed it and sent it to Dan saying, control your people.
Delete conversations in your.
I really should because it's taken up way too much space on my phone. I don't delete. I have text messages from probably 2015 still on my phone.
Oh, I for sure.
Hold on a minute. Let's keep going here. Where we go. Oh, there it is. September 7th, 2019, 12:17 p.m. Tense in Big House. He texts
That's
me.
It. Tense in Big That's House. It.
I text back him, is this why they call you Captain Obvious?
Tense.
That's it right there.
Big of you to even respond like in the middle of that obvious tense moment.
I just couldn't believe it. Text. And I had to get out of the ESPN app to look at, you know, to get to the text app. Because, again, I thought it might be my wife. And I had 1% left. And I'm like, I hope I don't get out of this just to see what the text is from. And it's from him.
Amazing.
And Army did, in fact, not win that game.
Fritz is amazing.
Oh, my God. Nail biters against Army and Rutgers. Help. Sending up a flare. Kyle Brandt coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.